2020 Mazda CX-9 is designed to elevate every moment with a sophisticated SUV experience. Stunningly crafted with three-row seating, including second-row captain's chairs. Book a test drive at Mazda.ca.
This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hi and welcome. It's Suze, and I'm really excited to be spending the next hour with you here on Contact Talk Radio. We're talking today about just asking for what you need. So the topic today is ask. Stop assuming. Start asking. So I'm interested in where you've been making assumptions and how we can repattern around those. Call in on 877-230-3062. That's 877-230-3062. I've got a great offer that I'm going to be making a little bit later in the show for listeners. So I'm looking forward to hearing from you if you would like to call in and talk about those places, how you get around those assumptions that we all make. That would be great. We're going to start today with a testimonial. Michelle wrote in, "Just want to express my gratitude. It makes so much sense, and I appreciate the clarity. This work has been an instrumental part of my development and growth, and I can honestly say that I'm a different and better person because of belief repatterning." Well, thank you very much, Michelle, and I appreciate hearing from you. If you'd like to chat, I'd love to hear from you, so give us a call in. It's a toll-free line, 877-230-3062. Or you can always send me an email to info@beliefrepatterning.com or post something up on our Facebook page. There's a Belief Repatterning Facebook page, which is about the technique, or the Suze Casey author page, which is where you'll find me. So looking forward to connecting with you. Lots of ways to do that. Last week, we talked about how summer should get a speeding ticket. I had so many people sending a note in saying, touche, they agreed with it completely, that summer just goes so quickly. Well, I decided to really do something about it and canceled out things that I had planned for this week and headed for the lake, where I've been enjoying lots of dips in the water and cases of fresh peaches and fresh nectarines and picking tons of tomatoes and cucumbers and wonderful things from the garden, making great big Greek salads and just really enjoying these last few days of summer holidays. School's going back most places, or has already gone back. And we're back into a new routine, or back into an old routine, but it's a perfect time of year to flip the switch and make some changes. That 1st of September, for all of us, at least in North America, it does signal a new year. It signals a start of a new year for us. And that's because for the first 12 or 13 or 14 or more years, not the first, but from when we were 4 or 5, that meant back to school, new clothes, new pencils, new books. Do you remember how it was so exciting to have those pencils all nice and the same length and that brand new notebook and the new shoes and the new clothes? It was really fun. And it was the start of a new year. And so a perfect time to take a look at what you've been working on this year. Maybe you had some New Year's resolutions that you made, some New Year's goals and intentions that you made in December and January. It's not too late. We're just entering into the last quarter, or finishing up the third quarter of the year, and there's lots of time. There's still 4 months. Lots of things can happen in that time frame, and so ask for what it is that you really need. And I'm not talking about what you need, you know, I really need a new outfit, or I really need a partner, or I really, but what is it that you need in terms of an emotional feeling? I would like more peace. I would like more clarity. I would like more, trusting of my knowing. I would like to be more in sync. And those are the things that we want to ask for rather than I would like a new car. It's not about the material thing. It's about the feeling that that material thing will give you. And so today's topic is ask. Stop assuming. Ask. Just ask. It's interesting because so much of our world, so many of us operate all the time, myself included, on assumptions. And those assumptions can really be problematic. Many times we're making an assumption, well, all the time we're making an assumption based on our perceptions, on our past experiences. And that's just the way it was. It's not the way it has to be in the future. So learning to ask for what you need from a solid space, from the upside of the line, is one of the greatest life skills that you can develop. And it's really what we are on about today. So looking forward to hearing from you, calling in, and having a chat. If you have something to add to the topic, a question that you want, if you'd like to do some repatterning with me, or just some perceptions about how things have been going for you, I always love to hear testimonials and stories from people about how the work is impacting them, how it's changing their lives. It was a great one of the gals, a gal posted on Facebook yesterday, and she said she was taking some self-development time. She had this lovely picture of her two kids playing in the water, and she was sitting on a beach, I guess. She took the picture, and she had my book on her lap, and I thought, wow, isn't that nice that she's, it was nice that my book got to go to the lake as well. Just, you know, finding it a helpful thing to do. So I always love to hear back at how people are finding the work and finding that it's supporting them. So that's one of the things that I'm asking for. I assume the best when I make assumptions. I assume the best whenever possible. And that's something that we can all work on as learning. If we're going to assume the best. So let's do a little repatterning around that. And we'll start off with the forgiveness stage, which is where we acknowledge what's going on. I forgive myself for believing that I need to assume the worst. I forgive myself for believing that I need to assume the worst, and breathe it in. If you're listening for the first time, just repeat these. And if you get a monkey coming forward or a little voice in your head arguing with you, do give me a shout and we will repattern together. I forgive myself for believing that the way things have been is the way that they're going to be in the future. I forgive myself for believing that the way things have been is the way that they're going to be in the future. All right, and then let's move to permission. I give myself permission to assume the best. I give myself permission to assume the best, and breathe that one in. You know, there really, really, there's no reason why not to assume the best. You can assume the worst or you can assume the best. So let's go there. I can assume the worst or I can assume the best, and I'm choosing to assume the best. I can assume the worst or I can assume the best, and I'm choosing to assume the best. I'm just dropping a quick note here on Facebook to encourage people to call in, because it's always fun to have a caller and do some repatterning work together. I like doing these general repatternings with people, but nice to have you call in as well. So I give myself permission to assume the best from now on. I give myself permission to assume the best from now on. And breathe that in. When I choose to assume the best, I get better results. When I choose to assume the best, I get better results. Have you noticed that when you assume the best? When you assume from this right side of the line, when you make your assumptions that the world is operating in your favor, that the universe is conspiring on your behalf, as Mike Dooley would say, then things tend to work for you. It's quite astonishing. So if you're going to make assumptions, make them from the right side of the line. for those of you who haven't been listening to me before, you won't know what I'm talking about with a line, but let me just give you a quick rundown. You can assume that there's things on either side of the line. Downside of the line drains your energy. Upside of the line supports your energy. So making assumptions, you can make assumptions from the side of the line that drains your energy. Oh no, things aren't going to work out. Or you can make assumptions from the upside. If you make assumptions from the upside of the line, that would be, I'm assuming that this is all going to work out in my favor. Okay? So it's not the assumptions itself. It's just which side of the line. And often we make those assumptions from the downside of the line. So I'm free to make assumptions from the supportive side of the line from now on. I am free to make my assumptions from the supportive side of the line from now on. I am free to assume that the universe is conspiring on my behalf. I'm free to assume that the universe is So that freedom stage is where we really go into the imagination and start projecting what we're wanting forward. I'm free to assume the best in others. I'm free to assume the best in others. I know what happens when I assume the best. Things work out. Like this added trip. Okay, so what you want to do, I just added in that like this added trip. When's the time that you assumed the best and it worked out for you? It doesn't have to be a huge thing. It could be that you assumed the best around maybe a plan for last evening, or maybe a conversation that you were going to have with someone and it worked out really well. You generally assume the best when you're with your good friends. And so let's try that. I assume the best when I'm with my good friend. You can put their name in. I assume the best when I'm talking with my good friend. And breathe that one in. And then let it go. So that affirmation stage is where you find an example. And then the surrender stage, I'm learning to make my assumptions from the upside of the line. I'm learning to make my assumptions from the upside of the line. Well, I see that Meg is calling in from North Carolina, and she wants to talk about her work with assumptions. So, Meg, thanks for calling in.
Hi, Sue.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you perfectly fine.
Good, good. So thanks so much for calling in. And you wanted to talk a bit about assumptions.
Yes, I had a reinforcing event this morning that reminded me about the assumptions we make about things.
Okay, so go ahead and share that. Just to fill listeners in, Meg is one of our apprentices and working out of the North Carolina area, correct? I've got the right Meg?
Yes, you've got the right Meg.
I thought so when I heard your voice. I thought, I think I know who this is. So thanks for calling in. And what happened with you this morning?
Well, actually, I work with a group of collegiate women as a sorority advisor, and they were trying to get something approved. I'm now the lead advisor. It's a new role for me. And I dropped them a message like, hey, this is the last day you can get this done. You know, just let you guys know that. And I didn't hear anything all day, and I started getting worried at 3 because this is the last day. And then I realized that spending that energy worrying, I was just going to create more of that energy around this event that they're trying to put together. So I actually let it go. I sort of retired, and I just chose to know that these girls are very capable and they could do it. And I'm not, within 25 minutes, I got a flurry of emails that everything was done.
Nice. Nice.
You know?
Yeah. So if you're going to assume anything, assume the best.
Yeah. Assume that they're capable. Assume that they listen.
Yeah. Assume that things are working out.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And I have an even more interesting story. And this is really, I've told it to several people and they can't believe it. I bought an iPad for myself back in May. And then promptly lost it within 2 weeks. Like, couldn't even remember where I'd been, where I lost it. And so I put a little loss tracker on it, and I just, you know, I said, you know, I'm just going to assume it's going to find its way back to me. And if it doesn't, it doesn't. But I'm just going to assume it does. A week and a half ago, I heard from someone here who works at the Starbucks in Charlotte, one of them. He had found my iPad. He'd found a charger to charge it. He turned it on, and he got the little message to call me because it was lost. And I got it back on Wednesday, and he had even put it in a new case because he had an extra case. And he's like, it wasn't in a case, so I was a little worried about it. So I put it in a new case for you.
Nice. So do we know where it had been? It had just gone AWOL.
It had just been, it had been hanging out at the Starbucks all summer. No one had claimed it because I guess I had forgotten that I'd been there. And when I was retracing my steps, it was one of those days where you're, we all have them where you are not quite sure sometimes if you're coming or going.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't able to fully retrace my steps because my mind was going into many directions that day.
Mm-hmm.
And he'd actually called a friend who worked for Apple, and he'd done all this legwork. And, you know, it was really funny because I was like, oh, I should get him a Starbucks card. And I thought, no, I'll get him a little gift card to one of the local restaurants as a thank you.
Right. And, nice.
And the good thing is, it's good that I didn't get him the Starbucks gift card because he works there.
Yeah.
More likely than not.
Nice. Well, it's funny that, that you know, people are generally good. And it's it's interesting when, you know, because I mean, people say, oh, my goodness, you left it at a coffee shop. You're so lucky it was there. But we had a situation a couple of days ago here, and lots of people out at the lake. And it was one of the kids' fourth birthday party. And there was, you know, going to be like 20 some odd people for this birthday party. And one of, it was his aunt, actually. And she pulled up and she got the, you know, her 1.5-year-old out of the back seat of the car. And then she went, she opened up the trunk and she went, I don't know where my groceries are. And she left her groceries in the cart at the grocery store. And I said to her, well, give them a call at the grocery store. They're probably still there. Oh, no, somebody will have picked them up by now. And I said, well, I can guarantee if you bought ice cream, it's not going to be any good because it was hot, hot day. But I said, you'd be surprised that, you know, the number of times that things just are still where you've left them. And I said, you know, much better that you leave the groceries behind than your son, you know.
Right.
But, she, you know, she'd been rushing, and like you say, that having so many things on your mind, just not paying attention. And I said, you know, we can watch your son if you want. She said, oh, no, I'll just drive back. And she went back, and she said it was in exactly the same places where she'd left it. It had been there for, you know, probably half an hour.
Yeah.
You know, and then
just waiting.
Just waiting patiently for her to come back. And we were kind of laughing because we were making pizzas, and I said, you know, she said, no, she didn't have ice cream, but she had cheese for the pizza. And I said, well, it's going to melt anyway, so we're just doing a pre-melt on it. And we just all laughed about it. But, you know, we've all done that. And somebody said, you know, everybody's done that. And then somebody piped up, well, I haven't. And I was like, really? You've never left anything anywhere. And it's always that, you know, because we get preoccupied with things. And if you make the assumption that it's all fine and it'll be there, most of the times it is. Yeah, that's a great story. Good stuff. So when you said that you did some repatterning around the assumptions that you were making with the young girls in the sorority, do you remember what you were repatterning toward? That they were capable and competent, or?
Yeah, it was capable and competent. You know, I think so often when we, and I've seen it, you know, I've worked with, you know, I worked with high schoolers for about 8 years, and now I've been working with collegiate women for about 4. So often we assume that they're not capable. Mm-hmm. And when we make that assumption, you know, because I'm, you know, there, and, you know, and there are times I goof up and miss an email, and it's like, oops, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I just repatterned really quickly around, you know, that the woman I was working with directly was Claire. And I said, you know, I know that Claire's really competent and capable. I've seen her go from, you know, she was, at one point I worked with her scholarship class. She wasn't doing well in her business classes, which is her major. I've seen her go from a very low GPA in her business, classes to dean's list within one semester.
Wow.
So if she can do that, she can certainly fill out this form.
Mm-hmm. You know? And that would be an example. We're talking about the affirmation where you find a specific example. And, you know, I think that just a general repatterning for the listeners would be great. Would you feel comfortable in leading one? Sure. Around just allowing. So if we ask people to just think about somebody that you're working on a project with or you're relying on for something, you know, some kind of an event like that. And Meg, if you want to do the statements, and then I'll just repeat them back.
Sure.
And we'll see what comes up. So moving into that place of competent and, what was it, competent and?
Capable.
Capable. Okay, cool. So on your mark, get set, go.
Okay. I forgive myself for believing that, fill in the blank, this person isn't competent and capable to complete this task.
And I'm just going to use the word they, but I've got a specific person in mind. Okay. I forgive myself for believing that they aren't competent and capable of completing that project.
Breathe in.
And I've got the, yeah, but last year, I got that going on. So how do you suggest I deal with that?
Well, I know personally for me, it's always been that I feel like at times there's been in the past where I need to control every detail. So maybe let's start there. So
okay.
I said, forgive myself for believing that I have to control all parts of this project.
I forgive myself for believing that I have to control all parts of this project. And my monkey said, how did she know that?
Oh, when you're recovering type A personality, you have good insight into this area.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I think that is one of the things that we do, is that for those of us who are used to doing it, and then when we finally do ask for that help that we need,
mm-hmm.
Because we know that we're stretched or, you know, got too many pieces of pie on our plate or whatever, and then we go into the assumption place.
Yep.
And so it's, yeah, just ask for it and then let it happen. Because I don't know about you, but when somebody asks me to do something, I hate it when they check in on me a million times.
Well, I always remind myself, like, if I was in charge of making sure the sun came up every morning, the plants grew, and the rain came, like, that's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And that stuff all happens without me being directly involved in controlling it. So...
Mm-hmm.
That's how I always remind myself.
I remember getting a mug, oh gosh, this is about 25 years ago, and it said, peace of mind comes from resigning as manager of the entire universe.
Yes. I've seen that same sign.
Yeah, and it was just like, mm-hmm. So we've done the forgiveness statements there.
Yeah.
Maybe we can move into a permission one, and then we'll give the folks something to, are you able to stay on the line after the break?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yes,
so then maybe we'll give people a little bit of a time to kind of think about some of these other places where they've been making some assumptions that they can maybe just allow others to be capable and competent.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So okay. Let's go for permission statements.
I give myself permission to let go control of this project.
Mm-hmm. Boy.
Yeah. That's gonna bring up a lot of buttons for people, I think.
Uh-huh. Brought up some for me, but let me give it a try. I'm gonna back it up. I forgive myself for believing I can't let go of the control on this project. And then I'm gonna give myself permission. had to kind of work my way there.
I give myself permission to
let go of some of the control on this project.
Okay. I give myself permission to let go of some of the control on this project. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Okay.
I give myself permission to see them as capable and competent.
I give myself permission to see them as capable and competent.
They've made it this far in their life being capable and competent on some level.
They've made it this far in their life being capable and competent on some level. Okay. So we're going to take a quick break here, and I'm going to suggest that the folks who are listening in just think about where you have asked and then made assumptions that may have kind of just blocked up the energy a little bit. And we're also going to look in the second half about some places where you can learn to ask and just ask for what you need. You know, I started out talking about that need to just figure it all out, or Megan and I did. And there's other places where you can just learn to ask and just ask from a clean and clear place. Appreciate you calling in today, Megan. We'll talk to you again right after the break. We're going to take 2 minutes here for some station identification. You're listening to Contact Talk Radio and Flipping the Switch. And I'm Suze Casey, and we'll be back in two.
Learned it, now live it. You've read the books and studied the theories, but the practical application is hanging you up. Are you tired of beating yourself up for not living what you know to be true? This is Suze Casey, and I invite you to integrate your learning through easy-to-practice exercise found in my book, Belief Repatterning, the amazing technique for flipping the switch to positive thought. It's available through hayhouse.com or your local bookstore. Hi, this is Suze Casey, and I'm passionate about helping people flip the switch to positive thoughts. And through Belief Repatterning, I'll support you. I invite you to sign up for my newsletter on SuzeCasey.com. That's SuzeCasey.com. You can also order an autographed copy of Belief Repatterning, find out about individualized coaching with me, or join one of my online courses. Know you can and will repattern anything you choose. SuzeCasey.com.
If you spoke to your friends the way you speak to yourself, how many friends would you have? Most of us are very aware of the damage the words of others do to our perception of ourselves. But what we aren't as aware of is the severity of the damage we do to ourselves with the insistent chatter of our inner critic. More than the words of others, it is our own self-talk that determines our outcomes, whether success or stuck, in all areas of our lives. I'm Suze Casey, encouraging you to move through that old limiting self-talk with a one-on-one session. You'll find all our licensed practitioners on beliefrepatterning.com. That's belief, B-E-L-I-E-F, repatterning, R-E, the word pattern, P-A-T-T-E-R-N-I-N-G.com. We all offer individual sessions and ongoing coaching programs. Know you can and will repattern anything you choose.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hi, and welcome back. Appreciate you listening in today on Flipping the Switch. And we're talking about assumptions and making those assumptions from the right side of the line and learning to just ask for what you need instead of assuming that you won't get it or assuming that it can't happen or assuming whatever it is that we're assuming. Just learning to focus on the upside of the line and ask for what it is that you need. Meg has called in from North Carolina. Meg Alexander, she's one of our apprentice practitioners, and you can find her information on the Belief Repatterning website. Meg, do you want to just give your email address, your Belief Repatterning email address?
Yes, it's actually very easy. It's Meg, M-E-G, dot Alexander, and spelled exactly the way it sounds, at beliefrepatterning.com.
Super. So if you're interested in booking an appointment, Meg, you do appointments in person, obviously, but also by Skype and by phone as well?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and actually, I'm very flexible on time. I've worked with people with a 6 to 8 hour time difference. So, yeah.
Nice. So just, and Meg's been studying Belief Repatterning. I'm going to say it must be about a year now.
It is. It'll be a year in next month.
Okay, so. Since we first connected and you've been integrating it into other areas of your life and finding some great success with that. So that's really fun. And I'm glad that you called in today as well. So let's finish this repatterning on assumptions.
Okay. And this is really going back to the repatterning. It's really when you kind of ask for help, or maybe you have help with a project and then you kind of like, but I can't let go of that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's kind of where we are at the line. So I can choose to hold on to the control of this project, or I can choose to receive help.
I can choose to hold on to control of this project, or I can choose to receive help.
And I consciously choose.
And I consciously choose.
To receive help on this project.
To receive help on this project. It's interesting when you put it that way. It's like, yes, I want help. But it's, you know, it's kind of like when we want help, we need to relinquish control sometimes. And oftentimes people end up doing it better than we would have done it ourselves. I don't know if you've noticed that. It's like, oh, cool idea.
Right. Or they have an easier way of doing it that, you know, is you were like, I would have never thought of it that way. But now I'm going to always do it this way. Yeah. Well, you know, and it's really, it goes back to being able to receive help. So I want to do another choice statement just to kind of cement that in with the capable and competent. I can choose to believe that I'm the only one that can do this project.
I can choose to believe that I'm the only one that can do this project. That makes me laugh. My inner coach is going, no, you're not.
Exactly.
That's kind of a good giggle. I like that.
Or I can choose to believe that they are also capable and competent in doing this project.
Or I can choose to believe that they are also capable and competent in doing this project.
And I consciously choose.
And I consciously choose to believe that they are also competent and capable.
Doing this project.
Doing this project and other things as well.
Good ad.
Nice.
Yeah, it makes your inner coach laugh when it's like, no, you're actually not the only person that can drive your car.
Yeah. That's great. So once we get to the choice stage, we've made a decision, we're at the line, then what are we going to do?
We're going to move into freedom, and that's really kind of exploring this new place where you're allowing yourself to be open. So I'm free to be open to receiving help.
I'm free to be open to receiving help. And I want to add, and I'm free to be open to learning new and more effective ways of doing things.
Oh, that's a good one. And that goes back to what we were just saying.
My inner coach just jumped up and went, yeah, and you'll learn more stuff. Nice.
And I'm free to work with them, seeing them as capable and competent.
I'm free to work with them, seeing them as capable and competent. And I want to add, I'm free to see everyone I work with as capable and competent. It just makes everything work better.
Yeah. Breathe it in.
Nice.
Okay. And now this is really the affirmation stage. And that was what I was talking about a little bit earlier with Claire, who I was working with today. And also with the iPad, which everyone I've told that story doesn't believe that I got it back. with a new case, no less. So, you know, I'm going to start with the receiving help. I know how to receive and be open to help.
I know how to receive and be open to help.
I did it when, and then that's when you fill in the blank.
I did it when we were making dinner the other night for that big crowd.
Good. And it was not, that was a good specific one. I know how you always emphasize the more specific you can be.
Yeah. You're right. It doesn't have to be out loud specific, but as soon as I said that, I was I could see myself it was really interesting because the dynamic of that group has always been my girlfriend and I cook for everybody. And what's happened now is that the next generation has taken over. And so we were sitting, you know, in the living room kind of watching it all go on and sort of doing this, wow, they're really good at it. Guess they were watching all those years that we thought that they were not paying attention. And it was fabulous. And, you know, we realized that we'd kind of moved to the next generation and now we get to sit in the living room. It was quite...
You've earned your relaxation time.
Yeah, they were totally capable and competent. And, you know, everything tastes better if somebody else does it. You know? My mom used to say mashed potatoes taste better if somebody else peeled them, you know.
Yeah, and I always say dinner always tastes better if someone else does it and cleans the dishes.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
That was a good specific example for me, and mm-hmm. just encouraging people who are listening to think of a specific example where, you know, letting somebody else do, asking for what you needed or allowing others to do things and assuming that it's all fine.
Yeah, you know, and it doesn't even have to be related to the project. Like, one that just popped in my head, and I traveled for many years as a consultant. I had a really big thing about being able to take care of my own bag. Mm-hmm. And there was one day where it wasn't a heavy bag, but I was taking an, you know, I didn't do check luggage. And a gentleman saw me come on, and I must have looked tired. It had been a long week. And he said, can I help you with your bags and put them up for you? And I almost said no. And I thought, yes. And I said, thank you. I really appreciate it. And it really felt good.
Mm-hmm.
Because the other side is when we allow people to help us, we're allowing them to give their gift.
Exactly. Yeah. It's one of the phrases that I suggest people use is yes, thank you. And that gives you time to think about how they can help when they offer it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because it makes others feel really, really good. And you know, it is quite fun to not be always dragging around and doing everything yourself, making the assumption that you have to and making the assumption that others wouldn't want to. You know, I remember at one point in time, this is years ago, probably 15 years ago now, and I was really in a, I had a lot of stuff going on. I had piles of things all over the place. My office was a disaster area. This was before I was teaching the declutter your mind workshops. And I was just overwhelmed. And I remember saying, I need help, but who would, you know, making the assumption that mm-hmm. no one would want to help me with this mess. And a friend said to me, you know, there's lots of people who love to put order to things and they would love to come and help you. Why don't you just assume that there's somebody? And I said, well, because I don't have regular times or regular pay. And she said, I bet you that there's, you know, maybe a new mom or something that's looking for something that would be happy to not have regular time. And I just kept making all of these assumptions about why it wasn't going to work. And then I finally said, you know, Suze, you know better than this. Let's just mm-hmm. make the assumption that it will work. And lo and behold, if I didn't meet someone whose daughter-in-law was a new mom and she was an office administrator and she was going out of her tree being home full-time, but couldn't commit to a full-time job either. And I was really happy for her to bring that baby in. And she had me organized in no time flat. And I'm still using much of the organizational structure that she put in place for me. And like I said, it was like 15, 16 years ago. In fact, it's a little bit longer ago than that because that young person is going to university this fall. So I guess it's like 17 years ago, maybe 18. But you know, I'd made all of these assumptions about why it couldn't work. And then when I made mm-hmm. assumptions about why it could, bingo, it did. So that's interesting. You know, thank you for leading that repatterning. We just need probably a final surrender one now.
Yeah.
Just to kind of cement it in and
close it up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm open to accepting help in all forms. It feels really good.
I'm open to accepting help in all forms. It feels really good.
And it makes things easy.
And it works best when I assume that others are capable and competent.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. You know, I quoted in the newsletter today Don Miguel Ruiz because nobody says it better than he does in terms of assumptions. And I'm just wondering if you might like to just kind of chat around some of the things that he talks about in his book.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because so, I just finished it, I think, about a month or so ago.
It's a great little book, isn't it?
And it's really, you read it and it makes such sense. You know, we complicate things so much when it really can be quite simple.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and around assumptions, you know, and offering and receiving help. I mean, a perfect example for me And it was good that I was reading this book this summer. It's this past summer. I just recently got back. I was up in the D.C. area where I grew up, helping my mom kind of create some clear space in her home. And it took a lot for her to accept my help. But it was a great learning experience for me on how we, with some things, we're afraid to ask for help because we assume mm-hmm. that people will judge us.
Well, and we also, I don't know about you, but mm-hmm. I often will revert back to some childhood place, you know, mm-hmm. and get all worried that I'm going to be thought of as stupid or thought of as, you know, dumb or thought of as, like, whatever, right? You go to that there's that little inside person inside of us that's quivering away. And I think that's where most of those assumptions come from.
Yeah. Well, and I've experienced it personally. I was up in, you know, where I grew up, the area where I grew up, where I know quite a few people, because a lot of the people I went to high school with are still in the area. And I made the assumption, because I have another business, that no one would want to have any appointments with me when I was up there.
Yeah.
Really stupid assumption to make, by the way. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm beating myself up over it. It just was one of those beliefs that I was holding. Mm-hmm. And the last week I was up there, I just made a decision. I was prompted by my mom's coaching, ironically, that, you know, just to call her list of friends. She gave me 7 people to call to see. And, you know, every single person I talked to said yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I had 2 appointments the week that I left. And mm-hmm. I had one of the best weeks in my business in probably 3 months.
Nice.
You know? Because I assumed that they would all say no
mm-hmm.
for so long. So I just held, you know, my mom's like, I've told them you're calling.
Oh, nice.
So well, I would really appreciate if you would call them.
Yes, yes. Well, it's interesting because Don Miguel says, find the courage to ask questions and to express mm-hmm. what you really want.
Right.
Communicating with others as clearly as you can to avoid misunderstanding, sadness, and drama. With just this one agreement, you can completely transform your life.
Mm-hmm.
And it really is about finding the courage to ask that question. And I like what he says, you know, expressing it as clearly as you can. And I like to say as cleanly and as clearly. Mm-hmm. One of the things that I talked about at the beginning of my musings was I've been spending time with a couple of different family relationships and 2 different 5-year-olds in 2 different locations. But both of their parents are working on the, you know, can we stop the whining behavior? Can just ask what you want in a grown-up voice or use your real voice for it. Cause you get the, in a minute, you know,
yeah,
whiny stuff. And I was listening to it and I was thinking, you know, where did they learn this from? They learned it from adults who are going, well, I don't know if we can have this or not, but would it be okay? You know, they learned it from us. They didn't learn it from the cosmos. You know? And so all of us learning to just ask for what we want in a clean, clear, strong voice. The worst that's going to happen is somebody's going to say, no, I can't do that. But what I find when I ask from that solid place mm-hmm. in a clean way, almost always the answer is of course, or I'd love to, or that'd be great, or sure, how can I help? Or what about that? You know, like,
yeah,
people respond.
I think we answer for other people. And we one of the people I work with in my business, she said, we're really selfish. We don't even give people the chance to say yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because
well,
we make assumptions.
Don Miguel goes on to say, when we make assumptions, it's because we believe we know what others are thinking and feeling.
Exactly.
We believe we know their point of view, their dream, and we forget that our beliefs are just our point of view based on our belief system and our personal experiences that have nothing to do with what others think and feel.
Yeah, and you know, I think we even make assumptions about, you know, how our day, you know, that was one of the things about how our day is going to go. And this morning I woke up and I was like, I want to have a playful day. I have lots to do, but I want to have a playful day.
Mm.
And it's worked out that way.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I do have an inventory project to work on this evening, but I'm going to find, I've already decided I'm going to, I'm a huge baseball fan, so anyone who's listening, I will use sports metaphors occasionally, but I'm just decided that I was going to make it fun and I was going to find a baseball game to listen to while I was doing my inventory work.
Mm-hmm.
You know, because I can assume that it's going to be difficult and challenging, or I can assume that it can be fun and, I can get excited when I get, more than half of it done.
Mm-hmm.
Or as I get more than half of it done.
Right. And listening to something that you love while you're doing it, all the better. You know, one of the things that I just want to let people know before we, because we're getting closer to the end of the hour. This hour goes zipping by, especially when I've got somebody fun to talk to. And I appreciate you calling in today, Meg. But I want to let people know about some teleconferences that are coming up, teleseminars that are coming up. So Flip Your Switch from Inner Critic to Inner Coach is really the beginning, how to make this work for yourself. And Meg, do you want to maybe, from your experience, what do you remember when you took Flip? What it opened up for you?
Well, I mean, it really, I had, just to back up, I had been listening to Suze on the radio off and on for probably 9 months. And I'd signed up for the newsletter and I was getting them and, I was on the fence and I was like, I don't know. I'd even read the book. Flip just, it makes it where you're not, you learn how to teach your subconscious to help you to do this for you. I remember when I got a project done that had been sitting on my desk for over a year. It was a licensing application. And I used Belief or Patterning, to really help me understand where I was and where I wanted to have it done. It was like when I finished writing it, it took me an hour and I probably had spent 20 hours or more thinking about doing it.
Mm.
And it really opened up for me a way of being that my friends, people who've known me for a long time are like, you're just relaxed. Not a lot of people pick up house and move for 10 weeks and come back and are like, no. In the past, I would have probably not even considered this as an option. And, it was fun. It was an adventure. Mm-hmm. I would do it again.
Nice.
I think it opens up a whole world of possibility that you maybe have told yourself in the past you couldn't do.
It takes some of the assumptions that you've been making about the way things are and switches them up for sure and helps you realize that you can make some different changes. So if you're interested in joining us for Flip Your Switch, it's Flip Your Switch from Inner Critic to Inner Coach. And it really is as easy as flipping the switch. And it's training that subconscious mind to do it for you. And, as you said, Meg, you'd read the book, you'd been listening to the shows and found that it still just kind of puts wheels on it, puts it into action for you. These courses tend to be fairly small numbers, and so you get a lot of one-on-one with me. And the teleconference is happening from 6 to 7:15 p.m. Mountain Time. So Mountain Time right now is just before 4 o'clock. So that'll give you whatever time zone you're in. You can do the math from there. But from 6 to 7:15 p.m. Mountain Time on September the 8th, the 15th, and the 22nd. Included in that will also be a 20-minute one-on-one Skype with me where I'll teach you how to do the muscle testing so that you can really tap in to the emotions that your body's feeling and not just try to be going with what your mind is saying. And I think that's one of the things that Flip really helps people do. Maybe you can give your perception on this, but when you're reading the book and doing the exercises from the book, you're really engaging your mind in it. Mm-hmm. And as much as I say, feel into it or check in with your body, feel into it. Flip Your Switch is really where that starts to happen. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, and I think particularly having a small class size really helps. You kind of become like a little unit, a little family, mm-hmm. for the couple of weeks. And I actually kept in touch with one of the participants, and she and I are now in apprentice training together.
Right.
But never
met in person and live thousands of miles apart, but
live in different countries.
Yeah. Exactly. So that Flip Your Switch is really about putting wheels on it, making it so that you really start connecting in with your body in a real way and really getting it as a daily practice. And if you're saying, I don't have time, I think that's the one thing that most of the graduates say that they really appreciate is that it's embedded into what you're already doing. It's not something you have to carve out a whole pile of time for. just, you know, if you carve out the time for those courses, the classes, online classes, the 3 hours or three hours and 45 minutes, because it's an hour and 15 each week, carve out that time. The other thing that you get is that you get access to previously recorded ones. And so even though the content is the same, the examples will be different because the participants are different. So you get access to an archive of those courses. We also have coming up in September, I don't know about you, Meg, but I'm a real ice cream fan.
Oh, yeah.
So this time of the year, I've been, you know, indulging in ice cream because it's summer and it tastes so good when you're on holiday. And so I'm going into the Being Heavy, Weighing You Down seminar series. Is happening September 9th, 16th, and 23rd. And that is from 5 until 6:15 Mountain Time, so a little bit earlier. But that is specifically for people who are wanting to focus on issues around weight, issues around body image, and believing in themselves, and releasing some weight. So that that seminar is a $49 value. Doesn't teach you the specifics of your patterning, but it does use the technique and apply it to, you know, physical body shape and feeling much better about yourself. So we've got that coming up. And then we also have, in October, the seminar series will be Declutter Your Life, Declutter Your Mind, which we mentioned earlier. So that's all coming up, and you can find out about that. The Learn It, Live It should be coming out in the next day or so, with some details on that. If you are not on our newsletter, do sign up. You can do that at beliefrepatterning.com or suzecasey.com. So just before we leave, we've got about 2 minutes before the end of the hour here, Meg, and thanks so much for calling in again. Is there anything else that you want to add about this whole idea of not making assumptions and just asking?
You know, I mean, I think we all find ourselves at times making assumptions about, I'm competing with the locusts out here in my garden. we make assumptions about even how our day's going to go. You know, if you get up and you're maybe running 15 minutes late, I know this has happened to me. I feel like my whole day's going, at times in the past, I felt like my whole day's going to be off kilter. And if you just take a breath and realize, well, maybe I needed that 15 minutes of sleep. Maybe my body needed that extra 15 minutes, and it's not going. It's all how you show up. And when you make assumptions about how other people are going to be, generally that's what you're going to bring about. You're not going to allow them to bring their gifts to you. I am by no means perfect. I'm still working on the four agreements.
Yes, me too. And, you know, McGill goes on to say that we make the assumption that everybody judges us, abuses us, victimizes us, and blames us the way we do ourselves. And as a result, we reject ourselves before others have even had the chance to reject us. And when we think this way, it becomes difficult to be ourselves in the world. Yeah. So he encourages us to take action and be clear to others about what we do or do not want. Do not gossip and make assumptions about the things that others tell you. Respect their point of view and avoid arguing just to be right. Respect yourself and be honest with yourself and stop expecting the people around you to know what's in your head. And that's, you know, half the time I don't know what I'm thinking. Why should anybody else?
Exactly.
So it's been fun chatting with you today. Next week, the topic, you know, I was working a casino last week, and this woman looked at me and she said, "Nothing is so bad that it couldn't be worse." And I just, it was almost as something took and punched me in the gut. And I thought immediately my inner coach went, "Well, nothing's so good that it couldn't get better." So we're going to have that as a topic next week, where we're looking at this or something even better. And when we make those assumptions on the right side of the line. And so I really appreciate you calling in today. And thanks so much. And if people want to get a hold of Meg, you can do so at meg.alexander@beliefrepatterning.com. And you can get a hold of me, Suze Casey, at info@beliefrepatterning.com, or join us on Facebook, or send us an email, or call in next week. We look forward to hearing from you. You've been listening to Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey on CTR Network, and we'll be back next week with that "Nothing's so bad that it couldn't get worse." Take good care of yourselves. Know that you can and will repattern anything you choose. Bye for now.
2020 Mazda CX-9 is designed to elevate every moment with a sophisticated SUV experience. Stunningly crafted with three-row seating, including second-row captain's chairs. Book a test drive at Mazda.ca.